Today is November 16th, and we're at Shari Tefillah learning Masechet Sukkah and Mishnah, Perek Shlishi, and we're doing the third Mishnah and the fourth Mishnah. So the third Mishnah says, Arava gzula vivesha psula shela ashera vishel ir hanidachat psula niktam moshah nifritzu aleya vihatzaf tzafa psula kemusha vishenashru miktzat aleya vishelabal shira. What all that means is arava, going back to the beginning, which of course is the willow branch. If it's gzula or if it's yivesha, if it's stolen or it's dry, it's psula. Shel ashera, and of course shel ashera, that's the Mishnaic form in modern Hebrew, shel, as a separate word, same thing in biblical Hebrew. In the Mishnah, it's one word. It's a prefix. So of shel ashera, which we said was a tree that is worshipped in Avodah Zarah, of shel ilanidachat. Ilanidachat is the city that has gone over to Avodah Zarah, the Jewish city, and it's condemned to destruction. Psula. Niktam Rosha, if it's literally its head is broken. Nifritzu aleya, if its leaves are nifritzu, it was hard to define what that is, we'll go back to it in a second. V'hatzaf tzafa, tzaf tzafa is a different type of arava that's not kshira. Psula. Kimusha means wilted. V'nashru miktzat aleya, and nashru, that word nashru, is to fall off. That's the root that was used concerning Russian Jews 20 years ago who got permits to leave the country to go to Israel, but when they got to Vienna, they changed their course to go to America. Wow. They were called Noshrim because they fell off the path in the middle. So Nashru means, Linshur is the infinitive, to fall off, to fall out. V'nashru miktzat aleya. Miktzat means some, like the language of ktzat, a small part of aleya, of her leaves. Arava is feminine, so it's not alav, but aleha. So if nashru, a small part of aleya, vishel bal, bal is a type of agriculture. It's agriculture without irrigation, just depending on the rains. So it means that this was an arava that grew without sources of water, just from the rain. An arava like that is kshira.
Because it's good?
No. But if you ask the question, then the people ask the question, why would you think that an arava shel baal would be psula, such that the Mishnah has to say kshira?
Because even if it's in one of the backyard of people, they're not making anything for growing.
Not making anything for?
For growing the...
So?
So...
So anyway, the answer is what the Torah says. The Torah says, Arvei Nachal. It says, of water.
Water, river.
So you might think that that's what it needs. If it doesn't grow by a river or water source, it's psula. Kamash Malan, it comes to teach us that no, that's only the name of the species, as it were, but it doesn't stand as a requirement. An Arvei Nachal has to be of that species. But that doesn't mean each one of the species has to grow by water. So anyway, to go back now to the beginning of the Mishnah, it's a pretty simple Mishnah. A good 60% of it is a repetition of previous Mishnayot, because all the other two, both concerning Lulav and Hadas, they all said that Gazul is not good, and Yavesh is not good, and they all mentioned Asherah and Yarnidachat, that it's Psul. They all mentioned Niktam Rosha. And they all mention Nifritzu Aleya, that's Pasul. Ah, so we have to ask what it is, but I'm just pointing out that as opposed to what we normally think, that the Mishnah tries to save words, in this case, it's talked about Lulav, Hadas, and Aravan, three separate Mishnayot, but it's repeated the same thing three times, a good 50% of each of these three Mishnayot is identical. Is that just the way it is? I have nothing to say about it. So, talking about the categories, there's nothing new here about Gzula or Yevesha or Ashira in Dachat, but in each of the three Mishnah we have here, we're asking, what does it mean, Niktam Rosho or Niktam Rosha? And we talked about a number of different possibilities, but I specifically want to highlight two, which was Niktam Rosho, Niktam Rosha, are referring to the branch or the leaves on top. So when we talked about the lulav, there the leaves are really an extension of the branch itself. It's really hard to see unless you look closely where the branch ends and the leaves begin. So there were commentators that said, Niktam Rosho means that the top leaves are cut off or blemished. Some said it meant, no, it has to be all the leaves until you actually get to the stem itself, the branch. Only if the branch itself is really the shidra, we call the backbone, only if that is broke at the top of it do we say sula. So that was a question of how to understand concerning lulav and concerning the hadas. But as far as the arava, it seems to me you can't really ask the same question. What do I mean? You don't have the same ambiguity.
Right.
Because in the arava, the leaves can never be considered part of the branch.
They're very distinct.
They're distinct, which is not the case in the arava. I'm sorry, in the lulav or in the hadas. In the hadas, you really sometimes can't see the branch on the top. It's covered by the leaves, just like in the lulav. It's one entity. So you can say that the top of the arav, the lulav, or the hadas, is the top leaves. But you couldn't say that in marava. The leaves are not a continuation of the branch. They're something else.
The two fronts, two of the up the amud shidra. So the two leaves that they are up
in the arava.
Yeah.
What two leaves?
It's Arava, it's the Amud Shidra, and two leaves going like that.
Arava, what do you mean?
The alternate leaves.
Yeah, I think so.
Alternate pairs.
Okay. Yeah, but they're not in any sense a continuation of the branch. They're separate entities. Mm-hmm. How can you, I don't think you can say that if one of the leaves is Niktam, that's called that the Rosh of the Arava is Niktam. They're not the Rosh, they're just leaves. The Rosh has to be the branch. That's what it seems to me.
So said that the branch at top cut.
That's what it means when it says the Arava, Niktam Rosha, Apsula. So it looks like the same ambiguity doesn't exist here that exists in the previous two Mishnayot, I think.
May I ask an unrelated question?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, since it's come up every time. On these condemned cities where, you know, it says that any of the cities that go over to idolatry will be condemned. Does that ever happen?
So there's a discussion concerning that. Good evening.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm popping around, but I'll
and
keep
it is back. In Masechet Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says concerning three halachic categories, lo haya, v'lo atid liot, Ella, the Rosh Vekabel Sahar, it wasn't, it never will be, it's just there to study. And it says that concerning the Ben Sorer Moeh, the rebellious son, according to the Torah, has to be stoned.
Disputed, I think. That one, but
yeah, there's a lot concerning that. Yeah. And concerning the Bait HaMinuga, I think it is, concerning the house that has to be taken apart and destroyed because it has leprosy. Mm-hmm. I think I have this right.
That's right. Yeah,
and that concerning the case of Ir Nidachat, that the three of them, if I'm not mistaken, the three of them, it says, according to one opinion, not all the opinions, that it wasn't and never will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, it may have been, though, because of the law. It was a good law.
And
so it kept people from doing it.
Right, that's why it's... Well, no, but But you're right. In other words, that's according to this opinion, the laws are such that you can never have a Ben Sorim Moreh because his parents have the same the voice, have the same octave, they have to look the same, they have to talk the same. In other words, the rabbis created a set of laws that was impossible to ever fulfill. So that's Niktam Rosha. Now, that's my first three questions. The fourth question is, what interpretation, I guess, Rachel, we should give you a source sheet. Oh, you're right. What interpretation of Nifritzu Aleya did we entertain in the previous Mishnayot that appears here to be untenable? Impossible. Untenable is impossible. And in the previous Mishnah, we asked, what does it mean, Nifritzu Alav, both as far as the Lulav and as far as the Hadas? Mm-hmm. You remember what we said? Mm-hmm. What does it mean, Nifritzu Alav? Again, there's a number of different possibilities. One thing we...
split.
Say it again?
We said if it's...
There was split.
There was split, and we had discussions about what does it mean, what does that mean?
Okay, so one possibility was split means split, and that made a lot of sense in the Lulav, where we're accustomed to leaves becoming split, especially when you're talking about two leaves that are connected, and they're back, and that connection is split. It was harder to understand that in the Hadas, because how can a Hadas leaf split in the middle? They're so small, it doesn't happen. And we said perhaps an interpretation of Nifritzu that can work both in the Lulav and the Hadas was simply disconnected. The leaves fall off. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. That can't be in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah of today, why can't it be?
Because
it says a line later, Nashru Alav.
Which is what?
Fell off. So if Nashru means Nashru, which it does, then Nifritzu can't mean Nashru. So at least in our Mishnah, and probably other two Mishnayot also, you have to go back to the interpretation that Nifritzu doesn't mean fell off, but really does mean split in some sense, which brings us back to the question, what does that mean as far as the Hadas goes? And I don't have an answer to that. But be that as it may, we get now to question 5, which is the word kimusha, which is in our Mishnah near the end, about 7 words from the end. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that can happen, that it's nevertheless kshera. It says kimusha.
What does kshera mean?
What does kimusha mean? Kimusha means withered.
Oh, okay.
So, my question I'm asking now is an easy one. Question 5. Kemusha actually helps to define what category mentioned earlier in the Mishnah.
Yep.
Right.
So
Yavesh.
Yavesh.
If it's said that Yavesh is Pasul, but Kemusha is Kshera, then you understand that Yavesh means really Yavesh, and not a little bit Yavesh.
This is kumusha, and yavesh is dry. They don't have enough water, they fall down like this.
Right, that's kumusha.
Mm-hmm.
So, remember, back in the Lulav, we talked about what it says there, yavesh. And I mentioned that there was a tradition, it's mentioned in the Gemara, of Morishim lulavehem livnehem, that they would pass on their lulavim to their children. Generations. And we said, but yavesh is pasul. The answer is yavesh means really yavesh.
Yeah, you touch it, that just goes.
Yeah.
Disintegrates.
Wow.
This is yavesh.
Yeah.
That you can touch.
According to that opinion.
After 1 year, how you can give it to your son?
Yeah,
you can, after many years.
What I'm saying is here, if it's not just that it's all droopy and like this, but I mean, it's so dry that probably
If you touched it, it would break.
Yes, mm-hmm. It would boil. It would turn into ashes, dust and ashes.
Yeah. Just little pieces.
So here we see a little bit of a support for that definition that Yavesh means real Yavesh. Because half Yavesh, that is to say Kimusha, is still Kshira. Question 6 says, under what circumstances might a case of Nashru Aleya be unacceptable? Right? Because our Mishnah says, in the last 6 words or so, that Vish and Nashru Miktsat Aleya Vishel Bal Kshera. If Nashru Miktsat Aleya is Kshera, you hear from that Nashru Rov Aleya is Psula. That it's only if a minority leaves fell off is it Kshera. You hear from that fell off the majority, it's not good. So here in our Mishnah is a source for the idea of majority. And perhaps we could apply that not just to Nashru Aleya, but also to the matter, for example, of Nifritzu, whatever Nifritzu means. If it only happened to the minority leaves and not the majority, then perhaps it's okay. Okay. And question 7 we did already. Mm-hmm. So, and that's all about that Mishnah. There's nothing else to say about it. That's Mishnah Gimel. Mm-hmm. So you have the Mishnayot, Tamiram?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we get to Mishnah Dalid. By the way, Mishnah Dalid, I had on the source sheets from 2 weeks ago because it relates to Mishnah Bet, but we didn't get to it as far as I remember. So we're getting to it now, so everything works out. So we're beginning Mishnah Dalid, and we'll read it. It says as follows. Rachel, did I give you the sheets?
I have 2 sheets.
She doesn't have the Mishnah.
But she doesn't have the Mishnah. So let's pass this on. So we're in Perek Shlishi Mishnah Dalid. Mishnah Dalit. The fourth Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shlosha Hadesim, Ushtei Aravot, Lulav Echad, Vetrog Echad, Afilu Shnaim Ketumim Vechadino Ketum. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Afilu Shloshtan Ketumim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Keshem Shulav Echad Vetrog Echad Kachadas Echad Varava Echad. Let's go through it again. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shlosha Hadesim, 3 Hadesim, Mushtei Aravot, and 2 Aravot, Velulav Echad Vetrog Echad. So he's not talking about the characteristics of the different species, the different minim. He's talking about how many you need. Mm-hmm. Torah didn't say. And he says it's 3, 2, 1, and 1, which is, by the way,
this is what we are doing.
What we do today. Mm-hmm. Right? 3, 2, 1, and 1. But, I'm skipping a few words now, Rabbi Akiva, at the end of the Mishnah, says differently. He says, Keshem Shulav Echad Vetrog Echad, Kach Hadas Echad Varava Echad. Just like Lulav Echad and Etrog Echad, so Hadas Echad Varava Echad. You don't need more than one of any of them. And obviously the halakha is not like Rabbi Akiva, we hold like Rabbi Yishmael. So it seems. So it seems. We'll get into that a little bit deeper. But we usually have 3 Hadasim and 2 Aravot, Lulav Echad and Etrog Echad. But the big issue is going to be the rest of the statement of Rabbi Yishmael, who says, Afilu Shnaim Ketumim Vechadino Ketum. Even if 2 of them are ketum, are broken off, and 1 isn't ketum.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just going to read for now and then go back and understand. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Afilu Shloshtan Ketumim. Even all 3 of them are ketumim. So the first question, of course, to ask is, which species are they arguing about?
It's Hadas.
And that's obviously the Hadas, because only the Hadas has three of the kind.
Wait, it could be two and one, because you have two extra of one and one extra of the other. That would be three.
Two will of the two are.
Or two of the all the four total species.
The total. Yeah.
So you said when Rabbi Tarfon says afilu shlosh tan ketumim, even three of them ketumim, right. It might be referring to
two of one and one of the other. Two of the myrtle and one of the willow.
Or what about two of the willow and one palm?
But you only have one palm, and you. But so I was thinking, if you think three of them,
you still have to have one good one left.
You still have to have one of each.
You still have to have one of each kind that's good.
Good.
In Mishnah Bet, it's right.
Okay, wait.
Hadasa gazul v'ayavesh v'pasul niktam rosho.
Okay, so that's...
So, yeah.
We'll have to get to that. Okay. It looks like, in some sense, on some level, this Mishnah is arguing with previous Mishnayot, or the previous Mishnah, because all three previous Mishnayot said, Niktam Rosho Pasul, both concerning Lulav, and concerning Hadas, and concerning Arava, they all said, Niktam Rosho Pasul. And here, suddenly, we're talking about Ketum, which is, of course, the same root as Niktam. Mm-hmm. And it says that something is allowed here, whatever it is. The pshat, I think, is not like you, at least like the Gemara says, that it's referring to the Hadassim, the only species that has three. Mm-hmm. But it's referring to the Hadassim that it gets to be kind of strange, because when Rabbi Tarfon says, even three of them ketumim, if he means concerning the Hadassim, which is what the Gemara assumes, then he could have said what he means in clearer language. He could have said that Hadas Shiniktam Rosho Kasher.
That will come right? To Mishnah Bet.
The assumption is he does disagree with Mishnah Bet. Because Mishnah Bet says, concerning the Hadas, Niktam Rosho Pasul. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon says, all three Hadassim are Ketumim, it's Kasher. So we must be holding that Niktam Rosho, vis-a-vis the Hadas, is Kasher.
What do the terms mean? I mean, could it be they're you know, talking about different kinds of
either what I said or what Aviram says, right? And we'll have to see that in the Rishonim. The Gemara doesn't relate to this question. Is the Ketumim in our Mishnah the same as the Niktam Rosho in the previous Mishnayot? I would think that the first assumption would be that it's the same thing, it's the same verb, the same root, but of course it's not the same phrase. There it says Niktam Rosho, here it only says Ketumim, it doesn't say Rosh. Perhaps it's something else. Okay, so we'll have to talk about that. But assuming that it's, for a moment, let's assume it's the same thing, that means that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees with Mishnah Bet that says concerning Hadas, Niktam Rosho Pasul, Rabbi Tarfon holds that it's Kasher. But why does he say what he say? Why does he say what he says in this strange language of feeling Shlosha Tumim? He just could have said, Niktam Rosho Kasher. And perhaps my question, my difficulty, brings us to Amiram's suggestion. Perhaps it's really something else, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah,
in the Meiri.
In the first, I was sure that it's a etrog. Because we
etrog.
Yes, because we have let etrog and tubig when it's the
etrog. It would be done
as well.
It doesn't make sense. Etrog ketum. There's no etrog ketum in the Mishnah. We didn't get to that yet. That's in Mishnah Hay. But there's no category of ketum. But anyway, let's just finish this line of reasoning. If Rabbi Tarfon is talking, when he says ketumim, about Niktam Rosho, then so also concerning Rabbi Yishmael, when he says, afilu shnayim ketumim, even two ketumim, v'chad eino ketum. He's also talking about hadasim that Niktam Rosho. But then I ask the question, okay, then Rabbi Yishmael, assuming for a moment that Ketumim means Niktam Rosho, what is Rabbi Yishmael's relationship to the halacha in Mishnah Bet that says Niktam Rosho of the Hadas is Pasul. Rabbi Yishmael says two that are Ketumim and one that's not Ketum is still good. Broken off. It just says Niktam Rusho generically across the board. Right, Mishnah 2 certainly says that any hadas is not a hadas. It's not kasher. It doesn't count if it's Niktam Rusho. Whereas then Rabbi Yishmael says that you need one that's not ketum, but two can be ketum. So the Talmudic language would be Mima Nafshach. However you pull it, it doesn't work. Because if Rabbi Yishmael holds that ketum is pasul, then how can he say that two of them, ketumim, is okay? They're psulim, as if they're not there. So you only have one,
yeah,
you need three. And if he says that ketumim is kasher, why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Tarfon that says all three ketumim is okay? What does he require one that's not ketum? What does he hold? That's really hard. So that's what we can talk about in this Mishnah. There's one other thing I wanted to say in the Mishnah, and then we'll go to commentators that can help us to think more deeply. And that's the following. It's question 5 on my sheet.
No, we'll finish 5.
We finished 5?
Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
We say already.
No, Mishnah 5 in Bet. We're in Mishnah Dalet. Okay, let's leave it aside.
Is it how reasonable is it to assume that in two Mishnah would use different terminology for speaking about the same thing? Is that...
I think that that's not completely out of the question, because these Mishneot are made up of discussions from different Batei Midrash in different periods.
Sure, and I could see the desire to maintain the specific language, but assuming that it's a work that was edited at once, it would seem like kind of an odd editorial decision to use for a technical document.
To use
different words for.
I'm always bad with examples, but it seems to me that we've seen this phenomena before, in which different Mishnayot seem to talk about the same concept in different terms. I just can't remember examples.
But using a different, technical term.
I think because the redaction of the Mishnah is not any type of really polishing the material as we might have expected. It's really just putting together building blocks as they are. I'm sorry that I can't give you examples.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Well, we see the word lulav used in two ways here. It either means the palm branch or it means this entire...
In the Mishnah, do we see it used in two ways?
No, they always use it just
means... Here, it's always been used in one sense.
The palm branch.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about that?
But on the other hand, the suggestion you made that ketumim doesn't mean the same as Niktam Rosho is the position, indeed, of a small number of Rishonim. We're about to see it right now. So the Me'iri, we're going to read now the Me'iri. It's in C on the sheet, which is really fascinating. So he says as follows. It's on this sheet in C. So the Me'iri says, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shlosha Hadesim, Ushtei Aravot, Lulav Echad, Vetrog Echad. That's his quote from the Mishnah. And he says concerning that, V'chein Halacha, that's the Halacha. You need 3, 2, 1, and 1, as we know. And then he quotes further from the Mishnah, Afilu, the word Afilu was abbreviated, right? Afilu Shnayim Ketumim, V'chad Eino Ketum. That's the quote from what Rabbi Yishmael says, that if two are tumim and one isn't, that's good also. Then he says perush, and he abbreviated the word perush, explaining what Rabbi Yishmael is talking about. He says chuzer al hadas. It returns to hadas. In other words, he's talking about hadasim, as we obviously figured out ourselves. Then he says shehitzraknu bo shlosha badim, that we required concerning it three branches. It's the only one that has three separate branches required. So when they talk about two and one, making three, it must be talking about the hadas. And then he says, Shemachshirin ota afilu b'shtayim shehem ketumim, that we kosher it, we say it's okay, afilu is abbreviated, b'shtayim, with two that are ketumim. You need three hadasim, but if two are ketumim, one isn't, it's okay. That's all simple so far. Rabbi Tarfon omer, hach b'shloshtan ketumim. Rabbi Tarfon says even three of them are ketumim, and he adds, v'chein halacha. Halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon, that the three hadasim can be ketumim. Kamo shitbarer b'gmara, as explained in the Gemara. Okay, all that was easy. And now for the fascinating part. Here we go. Upirshu gdolei harabanim b'kitimazo niktam rosho. Translation. Upirshu, explain, gdolei harabanim. The Meiri is an encyclopedic work, his Beit HaBichra that we're learning. And he quotes from many different opinions of his predecessors. But he never, ever, 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 ever quotes them by name, but rather gives them nicknames. And it's not always clear who he's referring to. So in this case, he's talking about the Gedolei HaRabbanim, the great Rabbanim. And he's talking, I think, about Rashi. So he says that the Gedolei HaRabbanim, they explained, last two words of the line, Kitima Zo Niktam Rosho. They explained that this Kitima, this breaking, is Niktam Rosho. Because Rashi says, like I said earlier, that Mishnah Dalet that we're talking about is referring back to Mishnah Bet, and it's arguing. Mm-hmm. Mishnah Bet says Niktam Rosho Pasul, but in our Mishnah, they go back and revisit the same question, and at least Rabbi Tarfon, that says all three can be Ketumim, he disagrees with the Tanakhama in Mishnah Bet. Fine. And says the Meiri, therefore, third word of the line, an abbreviation, V'im Kain, right, and if so, that's abbreviated with the three letters, Stam matnitin deniktam rosho badas pasul ein halacha ken ela kasher. Translation. And if so, a stam mishnah, that's a mishnah that wasn't argued against, a stam mishnah, that said niktam rosho concerning hadas pasul ein halacha ken, the halacha is not like that, ela kasher, rather it's okay. He's pointing out that according to the way we're learning now, you have to say the Stam Mishnah that no one argued on is actually not the Halakha. But the Halakha is like Rabbi Tarfon, who says that Ketum is fine, no problem.
Three of them.
Which means if all three of them could be Ketum, it means Niktam Rosho is not a Pasul. It's okay. And then he says, in the last three words of the fourth line, V'chein paskuha gedolei poskim v'mechabrim. And so decided the halakha, the great poskim and the mechabrim. The great mechabrim is the Rambam. He's the mechaber. Right? He authored the great collection of halakha. So he says Rashi and the Rambam say what we just said. And then he says the following, v'hadvarim matmihim. And these things are amazing. A better English translation, amazing, improbable. Mm-hmm. Improbable.
all what he said before?
Everything he just said in the name of Rashi in the Rambam is improbable. Right? It doesn't make too much sense. Heyach nidcha stam hamishnayot mizo shobi Yishmael. How is nidcha, how is set aside stam mishnayot, mishnayot that are stam, that are not disputed, mizo, from this Rabbi Yishmael? How could this Mishnah that talks the language of individual rabbis, how could it override that Mishnah that was stam? And what does he override? Because the Gemara says the halakha is like Rabbi Tarfon. But if we read it the way we're reading it, would mean Rabbi Tarfon is accepted as halakha against the stam Mishnah, if we assume there's a machloket. And therefore the Amir is going to say, like Amiram said, there's no machloket. It's two different matters. That Niktam Rosho and Ketumim is not the same thing. It's something else. And he begins his explanation with the last word of the line, where he says, Ela. Ela, Sheikar Hadvarim, Hu Masha Pirshu Gdolei Hamifarshim. He says, rather, the essence of the matters, by essence he means here the more acceptable way, is what is explained by the Gedolei HaMifrashim. And the Gedolei HaMifrashim is, I think, the Ra'avad, Rabbi Avram ben David.
How do you know when he said Gedolei HaMifrashim, and Gedolei HaMifrashim, and you know who is in it? It's no
remnant, or... Because I read what each of these commentators hold, and then I just do the one-to-one correspondence. I know what the Ravid says, I know what Rashi says, I know what the Rambam says. So I know that when he says, Doleya Michabrim, that's always the Rambam. Mm-hmm. It could be that in the other cases, he's always consistent. I don't know enough about the Miri to remember what he says in other places. But at least here, he's talking about Rashi, the Rambam, and now he's talking about the Ra'avad. So he holds like the Ra'avad against the Rambam and Rashi. And what does the Ra'avad say? As follows. Distam matnitin kidakai kai. That the stam matnitin, the stam Mishnah, the undisputed Mishnah, as like it stands, it stands. Kai kai. It's like it stands, it stands. In other words, our Mishnah does not dispute the Stam Mishnah that says, Niktam Rosho Pasul. Our Mishnah is saying something different. So say that again. Read it again. Distam Matnitin Kidakai Kai V'Niktam Rosho Pasul. Right? The Stam Matnitin, as it stands, and Niktam Rosho is Pasul. That doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Next line. V'Niktam Rosho Lechud V'Ketumim D'Rabbi Yishmael Lechud. Niktam Rosho is one thing. Lechud, language of, it's separate, or it's one thing. V'Ketumim, the language of our Mishnah, Ketumim of Rabbi Yishmael Lechud, that's separate, they're two separate things. So what is the Ketumim? The suspense is building, right? Sheketima Zo Sh'Rabbi Yishmael. That this breaking off of Rabbi Yishmael, it is, and now he's going to give us a whole botanical explanation that's very hard to understand. But it means the following. Shistam ha'anaf ha'emtza'i shahu ha'geza v'hu gufa hadas yesh lo badim svivo. Translation, that a normal branch of the middle,
of the anaf,
which is the trunk of the body of the hadas, it has branches around it.
Branches or
branches?
Not a leaf?
Branches. Mm-hmm. In other words, and we've probably all seen this, or perhaps you haven't, if you have myrtle bushes, that branches branch off into branches, that branch off into branches.
Twigs.
Twigs. So, we're talking about We're not talking just about a myrtle branch that looks like this with leaves. We're talking about a myrtle branch that has branches. And the branches have leaves. And at least I know we have these at home. Sometimes they're little tiny branches that branch from the myrtle branches. And what about this, he says? He says, Aval... I skipped a line, sorry. Rabbi Yishmael, see where I am? Rabbi Yishmael haya matzrich shiyehe echad min ha'anafim hageza shalo shalem im habadim shesvivotav. Hey, wait a second, Ayla. And Rabbi Yishmael was requiring, matzrich is require, language of tzrich, was requiring that will be one of the branches, the trunk of it, will be complete with its twigs around it. In other words, you have three of these myrtle branches that have twigs. Mm-hmm. And one of the three has to have its twigs intact. Right? Three myrtle branches. Here's the three. They have leaves. Of course, the leaves are mishulashim. I have to put a third one there. And they also have twigs.
Yeah.
And the twigs also have leaves. Right? Mm-hmm. I'll just draw the whole thing. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Rabbi Yishmael, what did he say? He said, Shnayim ketumim, and one eno ketum, right? Mm-hmm. What does it mean according to the Miri, according to the Ravad? It means that of these three, two of them can have their twigs broken off. Ketum means that the twigs are broken off. Mm-hmm. But the main branch
is still whole.
And it's not referring to what the earlier Mishnah talked about, the Niktam Rosho, right? That's over there. I'm not talking about it. We're talking something completely different. So, we're not disputing the early Mishnah Niktam Rosho, rather adding something new. That if you have a myrtle branch that has twigs coming out of it, at least on one of the three myrtle branches, those twigs cannot be broken off.
Okay.
Yeah?
הענפים הנוספים שהתפרצו בשני ענפים של ההדס, בסדר.
Yeah.
אז מה לא בסדר?
What does Rabbi Tarfon say? Rabbi Tarfon says, Afilu shloshtam ketumim. And Rabbi Yishmael says, only shtaim could be ketumim. One has to be shalem. What does shalem mean?
Whole,
that its branches are still there.
But this is not the halakha.
Okay. Not the halakha. The halakha, remember, the Gemara says, as the Miri brought, is it a filu shloshtan ketumim? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? According to what we thought before the Miri, it meant that the heads can be ketumim, and we're disputing Mishnah Bet. Now we're saying, no, Mishnah Bet stands, but we're saying that all of these extra branches can be broken off, and it's still good, and that's what we do today.
On two of them.
No, well, Rabbi Tarfon says on three of them. And the halakha is like Rabbi Tarfon.
Oh, that's right. It's like Rabbi
Tarfon.
Right?
Not like Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And probably what people do today is people probably think that if you have those separate branches growing out, it's even not good. They take them off. Okay, so let's read on in the Meiri. So... we're in a line that begins with the word Shalem. Yeah. And in that line, beginning in the fifth word, Aval. Mm-hmm. Aval Hashnaim Ksherot, who explained that Rabbi Yishmael, who said that two can be Ketumim. Aval Hashnayim Sheirot, but the two are kosher, Af Sheinan Shel Gezeklal. Elotan Heperot Hanichtachot Misvivo. V'chein ha-geza atzmo, af k'shiyuhu ha-perot v'abadim shesvivotav nektechot mimenu. Translation of what I just said. But the two are kosher, even that there isn't there the main trunk at all, rather those twigs that are cut from around it. And v'chein ha-gez atzmo, and so the trunk itself, even that will be the branches, and the branches that are around it, cut from it. In other words, says the Meiri, that when you say that two of them could be ketumim, it means that for two of them, either you only have just this, and that's good itself, or you only have just this. Mm-hmm. But one of them has to have both this and this. So again, what we're saying now is, not only can it be, when they're ketumim, that the twigs are taken off, and you have them only the main branch, but even twigs separate can be kosher.
If it's long enough?
If it's long enough, it's a different question. And now in the last seven or eight words. Aval, it's the last, the fifth last word of the last line. Aval ahad mehem yeheh shalem ba'avot im kol badav. But one of them has to be shalem with its avot. Avot means that the leaves are completely covering the branch with all its branches, with all its twigs. It's difficult to understand because he uses different words in each sense to mean something else. But it's hard.
So now he said you need one.
Rabbi Yishmael says that one has to be shalem. Two can
shalem
be ketumim.
With the peorot.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. But the two others can be only twigs or only branches. So this, so what do you think? Is this pshat or is Rashi pshat? It's hard to tell.
Mm.
It's hard to tell.
And they live in the same place?
Live in the same place?
Yeah.
No.
Where each one live?
The Meiri is in Provence.
Okay.
Rashi is in Ashkenaz. Okay. The Rambam is in Spain. I'm sorry, Egypt.
Well,
and the Ravad is in Spain.
Rashi is in Provence.
Mm-hmm. No.
Northern France.
Provence is not northern France. Provence is between France and Spain. Southern France.
Southern France,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So actually, so we have here Egypt, Spain, northern France, and Provence.
Mm-hmm. It's different. Not,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I have an opinion concerning this witch's pshat. I'd say anything that's complicated is not pshat. No, really.
Well, they both sort of, neither one really seems like it's pshat, because it's, one is trying to rationalize what appears to be an inconsistency between the two Mishnayot, and another seems to be dealing with, well, why is the term different? Niktam Rosho versus Kitum. Clearly the potential of, well, they must mean something different so that we don't have the contradiction. And so... I'm not sure that either one is just perfectly pshat.
Like I said earlier to Amiram, I think that it's very possible that Mishnah coming from different periods and different Batei Midrash use language slightly differently.
Right.
So I'm not really bothered by Rashi. I think Rashi is fine.
Well, I think they're both understandings that you could arrive at. But is either one of them really Peshat? I don't know. I would say that they are.
Yeah, I always think that unless it's not Peshat when you bring in other sources.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it not Peshat. Unless it's just in order to define the words or something. You know.
Yeah. And since there's no mention of these branches coming out of the branches, I would not think that that's the original intention, but it's left open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we can go back to simpler things, which brings us to D on our sheet. And this is the Talmud Bavli on our Mishnah. And the Talmud Bavli says, Rabbi Yishmael, manafshach. Rabbi Yishmael, what do you want? In other words, whichever way you pull it, it doesn't work. And again, I'm not talking what we talked about in the past 10 minutes of what ketumim means, whatever it means, but to say that you need one that's not ketum and two that can be ketum, it doesn't make any sense. Because, reading from the fifth word of the line, ish lemin bai li bai nami kulu vilo bai shlemim filo had namila. Translation, if whole is required, require also all of them. If doesn't require whole, even one also not. What do you want? What's your basic requirement? Is ketum pasul a kasher? If it's pasul, then you need all of them to be not ketumim. If it's kasher, then how all of them ketumim? I don't understand this two-in-one stuff, says the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, Amar Bira Amar Rabbi Ami. Said Rabbi Ami. And this thing of Bira appears three or four times in the Gemara. And Rashi says it's someone's name. What else could it be? We don't know. Excuse me. Chazar Bo Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael changed his mind. Chazar Bo means changed his mind. Okay, but now wait a second. How does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Rabbi Yishmael Chazar Bo. What do you mean Chazar Bo? So see Rashi. Rashi says, Chazar Bo Rabbi Yishmael. Mitchilat Varav.
I thought you said 2-1-1.
No. Tchilat Varav is what he said in the previous sentence, that you need Shlosha Hadassim. And then when he said Shnayim Ktumim V'chad Eino Ketum, that is Chazar Bo, says Rashi. Mitchilat Varav, he changed his mind from his previous words. U'mekasher, I'm sorry, I read it wrong, U'makshir Bechad. U'mihu Hadarbai. In other words, he reversed himself from his previous words when he said you need three hadasim. Now he's makshir b'chad. Now he says it's kosher with one. However, hadar is required. Hadar, in other words, has to be beautiful. And according to Rashi, that's the matter of niktam rosho. Niktam rosho is not hadar. So Rabbi Yishmael is now saying you don't need three, you only need one. And that one has to be shalem, because otherwise it wouldn't be hadar. And hadar is a basic requirement.
So, Rabbi Yishmael says that you need one hadar?
Right. Which means we're saying Rabbi Yishmael holds like Rabbi Akiva
on
this matter. That as far as hadasim goes, one is good.
And Arava too?
We're not talking about Arava, we're talking about hadas.
So,
then on matter of hadas, Rabbi Yishmael used to say three, now he says one, now he agrees with Rabbi Akiva. So that's what the Gemara says. But wait a second. Mm-hmm. Hold your horses. That also doesn't help too well. Because if he chazarbo, and he requires no only one, well then, why does he mention the filo shnayim tumim? He should have just said one. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If he holds Ayelah that you only need one, why didn't he say you only need one? Why did he say filo shnayim tumim v'chad eino katum? It sounds like you need three, but two of them could be katum.
But who chazarbo?
When he said afilu shnayim ktumim v'chad eino ketum, that's his chazara. But where do you see in those words afilu shnayim ktumim v'chad eino ketum that only requires one? He says you need three. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense.
If you need three, you need three.
And if you need one, why do you need two that are ktumim?
Why bother with the two that are
right, ketumim? Why bother with them if there's no requirement at all? So it's really difficult. So the Ran and the Ritba have something to say in this. But since in my computer program I couldn't print out the Ran because it's not there, I quoted the Ran from one of the Achronim that quotes him. And that's on the next page. This is a very interesting Acharon called Aruch Lener. Of Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, who is at the end of the 18th century, the beginning of the 19th century in Germany. So he, I think, died in 1830 or 1840, something like that. He straddled the centuries in Germany. And the Aruch Lener says the following, Bigmara, Chazar bo Rabbi Yishmael. So he's just quoting the Gemara, Chazar bo Rabbi Yishmael. And he says, kuf kuf, which means tzat kasheh. It's a little bit difficult. Da'akati lama ketani afilu shnayim tuvim. Translation. That akati means still. That still, why did it learn, Katani, why did it learn, quote, afilu shnayim tumim, end quote, kevan de ketumim keman de leta, since ketumim are like they're not, right, if you require that it be not ketum, so then if they're ketumim, it's not that, like they're not there. Lema pifashtut, let it say simply, afilu had sheno ketum. Mm-hmm. Even one, it's not ketum. What do you need? According to him, if he chazabo, no longer holds you need three, only need one. So let him say one. Why did he say three, but two can be ketum? That's the kusha. That's the difficulty. Vihine, emet, shalfi, masha, katvu, haran, varitba, drabi yishmel, bai lechatchila, shnang tumim, Behadehad, Chino Katum, Ayin Sham Zati Shapir. Translation. Beginning from the middle of the second line. And behold, it's true, Sha'alpi, that according to what Shekatav Aran, that what the Ran and the Ritba wrote, that Rabbi Yishmael by Lahadchila Shnang Tumim, that Rabbi Yishmael requires lahatchila to the ketumim b'hadei ha'chino ketum together with the one that is not ketum. Ayin sham means look over there. Ze ati shapir, it works out. So he's just quoting the Ritba and the Ran that they say that it must be that Rabbi Yishmael chazar bo from his saying that you need three, which would mean three that are shalem. In the end, he says, you only need one that's shalem and two that tumim. He requires that there be three. Lechatchila. We're distinguishing between lechatchila and bediavad. In other words, he requires lechatchila that there be three branches there. And he wants them all to be not tumim. But bediavad, it's enough if one of them is Eino Ketum. That's the way we can say that he chazar bo and still understand why he doesn't just say you only need one. Because he really does require three, but only as a lechatchila, whereas b'diavad, it's okay if there's only one. So that's a solution, but it begs the question, why the distinction between lechatchila and b'diavad?
Yeah.
So it's a solution, but it's not so good. And therefore, the Aruch Lener has his own solution. But his own solution is really complicated. So we'll read it. I don't know anything better. And it's based on a whole theory of the way Mishnah works, which is fascinating, but I'm not sure it's pshat. So he says the following. Aval kfar hiksha halechem Mishneh. But already brought up a difficulty, the Lechem Mishnah, who's a commentator on the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. Alze, on this. Now the fourth line. Dim Kain, Lamet Tzurech Lomar Dechazava Rabbi Yishmael. If so, why do you say that Rabbi Yishmael changed his mind? Ayin Sham, see there. Because he really didn't change his mind. At least lahatchila, he still holds you need three. According to, so what do you mean he changed his mind? He changed his mind partially. It's too hard, says the Aruch Lener. V'gam mirashi mashma kein dechazar legamre. And from Rashi, it sounds like he was completely changing his mind, completely chazarvo. So he doesn't like the Ritba and the Ran, both because internally it doesn't make so much sense, and because Rashi disagrees. So he wants to find a whole new understanding that he really, really chazar bo, like Rashi says, and he really only requires one. So now question, he requires one, why did he say three? So here's the answer of the Aruch Lener. Ivim kein kasher, so it's difficult. How can you accept the Ritba and the Ran if you hold like Rashi? So the answer is the last towards the line, v'yesh lomar kevan. And there is to say, here's his Chidush, his innovative explanation. Kevan, the bitchila, Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Shlosha, since from the outset had said Rabbi Yishmael, you need Shlosha, right, he did say that. V'kfar nitpashet ze bein atalmidim. And already it became common among the students that he said you need three. Mishnah la zaza mimikoma. The Mishnah doesn't move from its place. In other words, the students are going to remember that he said you require three. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Tanakhama said that ketum is not kasher. You mean you need three that are kosher, that are not ketum. Kedamrinan v'shavuot. As we say in Masechet Shavuot, that once you have something set down, people don't forget it. It remains in circulation. Vim Kain, beginning of the next line. Vim Kain. E hava amar shuv delot zerich rak echad, and therefore, if he would have said again, in other words, coming back and repeat and changing his mind, that we don't require anything but one. Nityarei, he was afraid. Shema yishkach ma shamar betchila uma besof. He was afraid that people would forget which one he said at the beginning and which one at the end. V'shemi yitu lomar shebitchila amar afilo echad v'lesof chazar umatzrich gimel. And lest they'll make a mistake of saying the beginning he said even one, at the end he changed his mind and required three. But if Rabbi Yishmael was just to say that I require only one, then in the world of the Beit Midrash, people would know he said one, he said three, that forget which was his first opinion, which was the second opinion. Mm-hmm. He's afraid they get it mixed up. So that's why he doesn't want to say just the word one.
One.
Mm-hmm. He He has to say one in a fashion that it'll be clear that it's his second opinion and not his first opinion. Lechein, I'm back reading the text. Lechein amar filu shnayim ketumim v'chadeno ketum. Therefore he said, quote, afilu shnayim ketumim v'chadeno ketum. Dehashta ein lemite b'davar. That now you can't make a mistake of thinking which came first and which came second. Shakol yedu shuzel mar v'sof. That all will know that this he said at the end. De'i b'tchila, that if he had said it at the beginning, lama le'a filu shnayim ketumim, why would he have used the words even two ketumim? Kivan de ketumim kaman deleta, since ketumim are as if they're not there, as the baseline being ketumim is pasul, you would never say that even two are good, two ketumim is what you need, because you can't say that because they don't exist. It's ketum. But now that he said that, after he'd earlier said that you need shlosha, that are not ketumim, you can hear that he's changing his mind and saying that you only require one. Okay.
But now Rabbi Tarfon comes along and says,
even three ketumim. And he doesn't mean that you don't need hadassim at all. Mm-hmm. He means that you need three, but they can be ketumim. So what we're saying is Rabbi Yishmael uses ketumim to mean they're not there. You only need one. Whereas when Rabbi Tarfon says shloshak tumim, you need three, but they can be ketumim, because he's arguing against the Tanakhama. Okay. Not so satisfying. But what can I do? That's it. That's all, folks.
But our practice is to have three and two and one.
Three hadassim.
Yeah, right. Hadassim.
Yeah. The halakha is that we require three hadassim. I know, I didn't say that. Three hadassim.
We didn't say three what characterizes them.
Three hadassim.
But they have ketumim.
According to the halakha, they can be a filu ketumim. They can be. All of them. But we require three.
So, the hafila, you need three, not ketumim.
Well, we didn't say that, but the halakha says you should really try to have them not ketumim, even though the halakha is that they can be ketumim.
But the ideal would be to have
a dafet. It looks like the ideal would be. The Mishnah didn't say that, no. But that's the halakha.